Welcome to Living with COVID-19, a podcast brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. And I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. In the light of the world pandemic of the coronavirus known as COVID-19, I am doing a podcast series to encourage Christians during these times and to give biblical truth that will help us live victoriously in faith, not fear, during this worldwide health crisis that we are experiencing. Open your Bibles and let's listen to God's Word together.
Bill was 45 years old. He'd been having this pain in his side for a couple of weeks. He assumed he had pulled a muscle playing softball on the church softball team. But this pain persisted for 4 weeks. And so after great urging by his wife to go see the doctor, he decided reluctantly to go. Upon running a battery of tests, the doctor called him into his office along with his wife one day and he said, "Bill, I have some bad news for you. You have cancer of the pancreas. And you only have 6 weeks to live." Of course, Bill and his wife were totally shocked. They went home and tried to absorb the shocking news. They called their church and asked their church to pray for them. The church, of course, prayed for them, said they would pray, and even prayed that they would be healed. Word spread around the neighborhood. After a couple of days, Bill's neighbor came over, who was a Christian. He said, "Bill, I've got some tapes that I want you to listen to. I think they'll help you." This guy's on TV and he's on the radio. And here's a book. So Bill began to listen to the tapes and he was immediately overjoyed to hear this preacher saying that God does not want anyone of His children to be sick. That God's will is to heal always His children. The preacher went on to develop his line of thought and he quoted from Isaiah 53 where Jesus bore our sicknesses on the cross. He quoted from some New Testament passages that basically said the same thing. And this preacher said, "Because Jesus took our sicknesses to the cross with Him and carried them with Him, that His children do not have to be sick. That our healing has been accomplished in the cross. And that we simply needed to confess that healing and believe God and we would be healed." Of course, Bill was overjoyed to hear this. So he called in his wife and he called in his two children who were one in their late teens and one in his early 20s. And he let them listen to the tape and they got excited. And they said, "Well, this sounds great, Dad." And he said, "Yes, we just need to believe and we need to confess our healing and God will heal me." So they committed right there in their living room to confess their healing and trust God to bring it. The days passed into weeks and Bill continued to get weaker. But they continued to claim their healing and believe God to heal him. Anyone would come up to Bill and say, "Bill, how you doing?" He says, "God's healing me. We believe it. We're confessing it." As 3 and 4 weeks passed, Bill continued to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And he'd pull his family together and he'd say, "We just need to believe more. We just need to exercise our faith more. God will heal me if we'll just believe." So they mustered up all the faith they had and they continued to claim, they continued to confess. And then finally 5 weeks passed and Bill was such bad shape, he couldn't get out of the bed. He had to go to the hospital. They continued to hold on and say, "We're going to believe God. We just got to believe more." Then after about 7 weeks, Bill died. His family had gone through the funeral and they were getting over the shock and they were sitting in their home. And his son in his early 20s said, "Mom, if we just had more faith, Daddy would have been healed. We just didn't have enough faith." And the mom and the daughter had to agree. And so their grief was compounded by a sense of guilt and a sense of condemnation. If we had just had more faith, Daddy would be here. Every time a special holiday came along and the absence of Dad was especially acute, this condemnation would come back and they would think, you know, if we'd just had enough faith, Dad would be here. It's our fault. We didn't believe enough. We didn't pray hard enough. Well, is that the only conclusion that Bill's family can come to? Is that the correct conclusion? Was the problem that they did not have enough faith? Well, that brings us in our study of God's sovereignty to the subject of God's sovereignty and our sicknesses. God's sovereignty in our sicknesses. Now, I want to give you some basic biblical truth about sickness and death. And let's see what God's Word teaches about this. The first thing I want to state is that sickness and death came into the world when Adam sinned. In God's original plan for creation, there was no place for disease and death. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would have lived on eternally. But God told Adam in Genesis 2:17, if he ever ate of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and by doing that he would have sinned, he said, "The day you eat of it, you shall surely die." And when Adam sinned, death and sickness and disease entered into God's creation. We see over in Genesis chapter 3 that when God gave Adam and Eve and Satan the curse that resulted from their sin of Adam and Eve, we see that death and pain and disease came into the picture. Genesis 3, beginning with verse 16. "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." That's his death. "Because from it you were taken. For you are dust. And to dust you shall return." Part of the curse of sin is sickness and disease. So the first truth we need to understand is that disease and sickness and death are intruders in God's creation. They came as a result of Adam's sin. They were not in God's original creation. And it's interesting that in the next age, the millennial kingdom, when Jesus comes back and sets up His kingdom here on earth, we see disease and sickness greatly reduced. And when we move into the age of ages, which is heaven, we have disease and sickness totally removed. And so they came in as intruders because of Adam's sin. second truth. Jesus' death on the cross broke the hold of sin, disease, and death on mankind so that personal healing is a possibility. If disease is a result of Adam's sinful condition, and consequently all of mankind's sinful condition, then why is there any healing at all? How can the effects of sin be reversed so that there can be any healing? If disease and sickness are a result of the curse of sin, how can anyone experience healing? And the answer to that is Jesus did bear our diseases on the cross. Now turn in your Old Testament to Isaiah 53, a prophetic passage about the Lord Jesus and His death on the cross. Isaiah chapter 53. Now when this teacher that Bill listened to on tape said that Jesus bore our sicknesses on the cross, that was true. And that is true. As we see in Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 3, speaking of the Lord Jesus prophetically now, He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging, we are healed. Now go back to verse 4, where it says, surely our griefs He Himself bore. And He's speaking about bearing it on the cross. Now that word griefs is not really a good translation of the Hebrew word. Because that Hebrew word, in all of the Old Testament, the New American Standard Version, is only translated grief two times. The preferable translation is that of sickness. 14 other times when this word is used in the Old Testament, the New American Standard translates it sickness. 2 times the New American Standard translates it disease. Only twice, grief. And so it would have been more accurate to say, surely our sicknesses, He Himself bore. And our sorrows. This word can also be translated pains, as your margin will tell you. Surely our pains He Himself bore. And so the Scripture is prophesying that Jesus will come and die on the cross, and not only will He carry our sins to the cross with Him, but He will also carry our diseases and our sicknesses. Now turn in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 8. Here, this passage in Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 8, the passage concerns the healing ministry of Jesus. And it says that healing ministry was a fulfillment of what was prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 16, Matthew 8. And when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demonized, and He cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now, I want you to look at that word, infirmities. The Greek word is asthenia. I've listed it in your bulletin for you so you can see it. Asthenia, which means weakness, infirmity. So you keep that in mind. That will play into our message later. Asthenia. Jesus carried away, took our asthenia and carried away our diseases. Now what does that mean? That means that healing is only possible because of Jesus' death on the cross. If Jesus had not borne our sickness on the cross, no person of any age, of any time, would have been able to be healed. Now, the Old Testament people were able to be healed because in God's sight, Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. The natural healing processes of the body are predicated on the cross. Remember, when Adam sinned, before Adam sinned, God already had the cure. Because from the foundation of the world and the economy of God, Christ was already crucified. Adam's sin did not catch God by surprise. He said, "On that day you shall surely die." And on that day, the death process began in Adam and in Eve. And what I'm saying to you is, if in the economy of God, Jesus had not already been crucified on the cross, they would have dropped dead the second they sinned. But because Jesus did carry our sicknesses and our diseases to the cross, the body has natural healing properties and powers. I have a cut on my hand. I sustained this cut changing the oil in one of my vehicles about a week ago. It's almost gone now. The scab is almost off of it. It healed up. I have natural healing properties in my body just as you do. But if Jesus had not died on the cross, I wouldn't have that. So you see, all healing, whether it comes through medicine, whether it comes through the natural processes of the body, all healing is predicated on the cross. If Jesus had not died on the cross, had not bore our disease and sicknesses, no one of any time, of any age, would have ever been healed. Their bodies would have deteriorated and died. In fact, the human race would have immediately been eliminated when Adam and Eve died. Right? And so disease and sickness are intruders in God's creation. They came as a result of sin, and the possibility of healing today is only so because of Jesus' death on the cross. That's called common grace. There are certain things that God gives to all, believers and unbelievers alike. It's called common grace. He causes His sun to shine on the just and the unjust. That's common grace. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. That's common grace. He enables the bodies of believers and unbelievers to have healing properties. That is common grace. Now in Matthew 8:17, when the Holy Spirit moved Matthew to pen the words about Jesus, He Himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. What does He mean by that? Does He mean that total and constant healing, therefore, is promised to every believer right now in this life? Or does He mean that constant total healing will become a reality for every believer in the age to come, in the resurrected body? Now, those teachers that Bill was listening to say that it is true for today. This life, right now. But I believe the Scripture teaches that we will not be totally free from all sickness until we get the resurrected body. Now we see healing today. God does heal today. We see people healed. I have been involved in seeing God supernaturally heal people in my ministry. But not total freedom from all sickness and all disease. Not in this life. In the millennial kingdom. In fact, there are many things in this Christian life that Jesus accomplished for us when He died on the cross that we will not totally realize until our resurrected bodies, until the millennial kingdom and heaven. Jesus has accomplished it already. And we experience a degree of it right now. But its complete fulfillment will not be realized until the millennial kingdom or heaven. Let me give you examples of what I mean. You see, not only did Jesus bear our diseases on the cross, but what else did He bear on the cross? Our sin and our death. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. Here clearly it teaches, verse 24, that Jesus bore our sins in His body on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. So He took our sin to the cross. Not only that, but 2 Timothy, turn to 2 Timothy back to the left, chapter 1, He took our death to the cross. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 10. But now, having been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus abolished death when He died on the cross. So not only did Jesus take our sickness to the cross, but He took our sin and He took our death. Now, when will you be totally free from sin and totally free from death? In this life or in the resurrection? And in heaven. Now, I experience freedom from sin today. Praise God. I experience that. And the power of sin has been broken over me. I do not have to give in to sin's power anymore. I have died to sin. I am alive to God. But folks, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I never sin anymore. That I have total, absolute freedom from all sin. Well, yet Jesus took it to the cross. When will I have absolute total freedom from all sin? In the resurrection. In the resurrected body. In the millennial kingdom and in heaven. Same thing about death. I can be free from the fear of death. I don't have to be afraid to die. Jesus has taken the sting out of death. But when will I be absolutely totally free from death? In this life or in the resurrected body? In the resurrected body. Do you see the thinking here? If Jesus bore our sickness, our sin, and our death, and we're never going to be totally free from sin and death until the resurrected body, then why is it that people think we're going to be totally free from sickness before we have the resurrected body? Yes, we have some freedom from all of these. We do see healing, praise God. We see victory over sin. We see victory over the fear of death. But our total, absolute freedom will not come until we enter the millennial kingdom as glorified saints in resurrected or transformed bodies. Now, to show you even from Scripture that it is not God's will to always heal everybody, every believer, under every circumstance, I want to show you some prominent people in Scripture who were sick. And if it was always God's will to heal, you would think they would have been healed. Or at least would have addressed the subject. The first one is Elisha, over in 2 Kings chapter 13. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 13. Look at verse 14. When Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash the king of Israel came down to him and went and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. Meaning he was about to die. Now Elisha was able to tell Naaman what to do to go down and dip in the Jordan River 7 times to be healed. Elisha was able to raise the woman's son from the dead. And yet he himself was sick and died in this sickness. It doesn't appear that it was God's will to heal him. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. For here we see that Timothy himself had frequent ailments. And look what Paul said to him. Now, if Paul had been teaching like the teachers that Bill heard on tape, what would Paul have said to Timothy in his sickness? He would have said, Timothy, you just need to claim your healing. You need to confess it, and you need to believe. And if you'll believe strong enough, you'll be healed. That's what he would have told him. But look what he told him in 1 Timothy 5:23. No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Now you see that word ailments? It's that Greek word asthenia. Same word that it said in Matthew, Jesus carried away our asthenia. He took them to the cross. And yet Paul just says, take a little wine, a medicinal purpose for your stomach and frequent ailments. Look over in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 20. Here we have a man by the name of Trophimus. Paul is writing, and he says in verse 20, Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Now, why did Paul leave Trophimus sick if it's always God's will under every circumstance for every Christian to be healed? Paul had healed others. He had a tremendous healing ministry in his ministry. But yet he left this man sick. Well, what about Paul himself? If God does not want any Christian to have sickness and faith is the key, surely Paul would have never been sick. Right? Well, we find the contrary to be true. In fact, Paul had a reoccurring sickness. Look in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, back to the left. Paul is writing to the church. In verse 13 of Galatians 4, he says, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness. That word is asthenia. Same one that Jesus bore on the cross. That I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God and Christ Jesus Himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you have? If I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Paul had a frequent sickness that plagued him. We don't know what it was, but it plagued him. And it plagued him so much that he asked God to free him from it. He asked God to heal him from it. Now some say, well, that wasn't a sickness. Well, if it wasn't, why did the Holy Spirit use asthenia, the same word He used in Matthew 8 about Jesus carrying away our infirmities, if that's not what it was? Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here we have Paul's prayer to God to relieve him from this sickness. And you would think if it was always God's will in every circumstance to heal every Christian, that God would have answered this prayer in the affirmative, right? At least He would have said, Paul, you just need more faith and then I'll do it. But what does God tell him? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. We're beginning with verse 8. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in asthenia, in weakness, in infirmity, in sickness. Same word used of what Jesus took to the cross. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore, I will rather boast about my asthenia, my weaknesses, my sicknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with asthenia, weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Jesus refused to remove Paul's asthenia. Instead, He told him His grace would be sufficient, and in that weakness he would be perfected. Therefore, our complete freedom from all sickness and disease will only come in our resurrected bodies, or our bodies that are transformed when Christ returns. Then how does God work through sicknesses to accomplish His sovereign will? There are five purposes. Any one of these God may have in allowing His children to remain sick or to get sick. Number one, God uses sickness to show His power through healing. You remember when word came to Jesus that Lazarus had died or he was sick? You remember what Jesus said? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. You remember when Jesus healed a man born blind and the disciples said, Who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus says, Neither, but he's blind that God might be glorified. And so sometimes sickness comes on God's children so that God might be glorified when He heals them. Now He can heal apart from medicine. He can heal in what we would call a supernatural way. Or He can heal through medicine. Luke was a physician. Isaiah told Hezekiah to put some figs on his boils. That was a medicinal procedure. God is not against medicine. God is not contrary to medicine. Any healing you experience is from God, whether it comes through antibiotics or whether it comes from prayer and anointing with oil. It's no less from God. No less at all. In one case, He simply chooses to use medicine as a means. In the other way, He goes outside of medicine. But it's no less of God. And we must give Him the glory. It's not the doctor. It's not the medicine. It's God who is glorified. And therefore, it's nothing wrong with a Christian going to medicine and trusting God to work through that. Unless God specifically says, do not go to a doctor, then we as Christians should go. He has given them the knowledge that they have. He has made different drugs available. And we should avail ourselves of these. Number two, God uses sickness to bring people to heaven or to hell. Now in Genesis 41, it's speaking of Jacob's death. And the word came, Behold, your father is sick. And then it goes on to say in Genesis 49, When Jacob finished charging his sons, he drew his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Now let's face it, if everybody got healed of every disease and every sickness, nobody would die. And God sometimes uses sickness to move people into eternity. Number three, He uses sickness to discipline His children. You remember, we have looked at the passage a number of times. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where they were abusing the Lord's Supper, some of them were. And Paul said, because you're abusing the Lord's Supper and you're not judging yourself first, some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some of you sleep, meaning they had died. There were different stages of discipline that God was bringing into their lives because they were sinning against Him. So God uses our sickness sometimes to discipline us, to draw us back to Himself. Now, He's not a child abuser. He disciplines us in love. And we need to ask ourselves when we find ourselves sick, Lord, are You seeking to show me something that's displeasing to You? I mean, how many times have I heard people say in the hospital, preacher, you know, I haven't been looking up until I laid on my back. And now I look up. David said, until I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep Your word. Let's face it, physical infirmity, physical sickness can get our attention very quickly. It can break our pride very quickly. And it can drive us to our Lord. Fourthly, God can use sickness to perfect His grace in us. We saw this in Paul's situation in 2 Corinthians 12. It was through that weakness that Paul was experiencing in his body that he had to trust God and trust God completely. And the power of Christ was made known because of his weakness. God was working through the ministry of death in Paul's life that the resurrected life of Christ could come forward. God uses particularly chronic sickness to perfect His work in us, to conform us to the image of Christ, to cause us to die to our self-life that Christ can be glorified. And then number five, God uses sickness to demonstrate His love through Christian compassion. Jesus said, I was sick and You visited me. I was in prison and You came to me. When a person goes through sickness and other Christians minister to them, they see the love and compassion of Christ in a new and fresh way. Again, how many times have I seen people going through sickness and others minister to them, and those people just get overwhelmed? And they just sense the love of those Christians, and they sense in a new and fresh way the love of Christ for them. And so God can use sickness to demonstrate His love through Christian compassion. What then should be our response in times of sickness? First, we should thank God for it. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Secondly, you should give glory to God. Paul said in Philippians, Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul said, I just want God to be glorified. And give God the glory and say, God be glorified in this sickness. The way you want to be glorified. Number three, look to the Lord first as your source of everything you need in this sickness. You might say, Lord, what are You teaching me? Is this sickness for my discipline? Is it that You might abound grace in my life? Is this sickness from Satan? If it is, pray the Word, the blood, and the order of God. Rebuke the enemy in the power of the name of Jesus and eliminate the satanic in it. Recognize the Lord is the source of all healing. Any and all healing comes from Him. Recognize that. Look to Him, trust Him primarily. And then number five, remember the Lord heals His way, His time, to His glory. He is sovereign. Why God chooses to heal one situation and not to heal in another situation, it's a mystery. It's a part of the mysterious sovereign will of God that we very seldom understand. Ultimate healing is in the hands of God. Going back to Bill, if they'd had enough faith, would he have been healed? Does not the Scripture say all things are possible to him who believes? Well, in a sense, that's true. If they'd had enough faith, he would have been healed. But where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And unless Christ speaks, you don't hear. And it's easy for us to go through the Bible and pick a verse and think we've heard. But if God intends to heal, He will speak that word. And when He speaks that word, the faith will come with it. And if God had intended to heal Bill, He would have spoken that word to Bill or to some of his family, and with that word would have come the faith necessary to release the power of God. Now, because God didn't choose to heal, He didn't send forth that word, and it's not His family's fault that they don't have that faith. You can't muster up faith. Faith comes from God. It is a gift. And God will dispense that faith commensurate with what His will is in that situation. So all you can do is ask God to heal. Paul did. Ask Him to heal. Lord, I really want to be healed. I really want to see You work and heal my dad or my mom or whatever, my child. Paul asked three times. There's nothing wrong with asking. Ask God to heal. But unless God grants the faith, unless He gives the word, you won't have the faith to believe. So you just keep holding on, trusting God, knowing He is working out His sovereign will. One of these five purposes He's working, maybe more than one, and you just trust Him. You trust Him. And you leave it in His sovereign will. So Bill's family don't have to go around the rest of their lives with guilt and condemnation, thinking if we had just believed hard enough, if we just prayed more, our dad would have been healed. No, they kneel before the sovereign God and say, God, Your will is sovereign. You had a purpose in this greater than we can know. And we will trust You. We believe that You are a good God. Everything You do is kind. Though it hurts to lose our dad, we will trust You. We will believe that You're working to Your glory and ultimately to our good. Give us the faith and the grace to believe. And God will supply that grace. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before Your sovereignty and it brings us to our knees. It brings us to our knees as we proclaim Your ways are not our ways, nor Your thoughts our thoughts. Lord, we thank You that You heal it all. We thank You that all of us have experienced healing in this room during our lives many times. And it's all because of Your grace and the Lord Jesus' death on the cross. We thank You for that. Father, when You choose not to heal and take someone to heaven or to eternity, give us the grace to trust You in this as well. That You're just as loving, just as kind as You were when You healed us. Take all bitterness out of our hearts that we may have because of a loved one that we've had to give up to death. Any blame that we might have placed at Your doorstep, Lord Jesus, just take it away. we let go of it today. Any condemnation, any guilt that anyone is bearing today because they felt they didn't pray hard enough, didn't believe strong enough, and someone died, take it away. Liberate them through Your Spirit, for Your truth will set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we want to give you a chance to respond as the Spirit of God has dealt with you. Maybe you'd like to come and pray about something the Lord convicted you about as we've been here this morning.